Ezra, check. Mic check, 1, 2, there it comes. Hey, Ezra, thank you so much for the words that you said during communion. It really was challenging to me personally, and I think it fits with where I'm hoping to go this morning. I love that thought of that there's just little moments that we don't want to miss, these short spans of time where great things happen, and what I love is, I mean, on our table, as you were talking about that, I'm reading the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And you know, it's easy to remember a lot of the big moments, but there's also those little moments as well, where not just in Scripture, but in our lives, where God was working and was doing great things through little moments for all of us. I love that our God is not just a God of great big moments, but that He's a God of little moments too, and every moment in between. I love that that poem that talks about when I die, you know, on my tombstone will be the day that I was born and the day that I die, but the most important date on that tombstone is the dash, because the dash represents all of the moments of life that was experienced between those dates. That dash is what makes that life so special. I love that idea. One of the I think, reoccurring themes in Scripture, a really important thing for all of us is to be able to remember and to reflect on those moments, to be able to bring back those times where God was doing things in our life, And to remember those things. Our memory is such an important thing. That's why I've titled this lesson, "Follow Me to a Healthy Memory." It fits right with our theme of the year of "Follow Me." But we want to follow Jesus to having a healthy memory. We want to follow Him to being able to bring back those moments and those times and those seasons, to be able to recover, to put our memory into recovery, to recover those moments that God was there for us, that He was doing greatness all around us, and when we didn't know what God was doing, He was there. And so as I was preparing for this lesson, I began to think about, what are my earliest childhood memories? You know, what's my earliest memory that I have? And so I want you to think about that for a second. What's your earliest memory? If you go to Connect Group tonight, by the way, if you're not plugged into a Connect Group, I hope that you will do that, because this is just a moment where we're all together worshiping our God, but there's something special about families getting together in homes, sharing a meal, and talking on the faith that they all share together. A place where you get to not just listen to a lesson, but you get to speak out the things that you're living. It's an excellent environment. That's why we have, I believe we're at 9 Connect Groups, if I'm not mistaken. But that's why we have so many of those. That's why we believe in those. It's really important to us. Leander Church seeks to be a people shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, and one of those ways is through community, sharing life as a grace-filled and diverse community, and it's also engaging in life-changing worship. Both of those things happen in Connect Group. And so I hope that you will get plugged into one of those. And if you don't know where they are or how to do that, see our information booth in the back. But it's really important in sharing that time together with one another. And so tonight in those Connect Groups, you're going to be sharing your earliest memories with each other. So you can go ahead and be thinking about that, because I don't want you to just ask that question and then go, like I did. It took me a long time to figure out what my earliest childhood memory was, because I can't remember. You know, and so I call my dad and I call my mom. I was like, "Hey guys, what's my earliest childhood memory?" I cheated. That doesn't even count. But no, then we started talking about things. Here's the problem: I've seen so many pictures of my past that sometimes I can't tell whether I'm thinking of a memory or if I'm just thinking of that picture that's associated with something that I can't remember. Does that make sense? And so I'm trying to differentiate between that. And so I talked with my parents and found out, you know, I said, "Okay, do we have a picture of this? Because here's the snapshot in my mind." And they said, no, there's a picture of that. And I said, "Okay, I'm remembering the picture." But we found something. They said, "No, we don't have a picture of that." So my earliest memory, here it is going over to Miss Zona's house, who was our next door neighbor in Elkhart, Texas. I was 3 years old. And I'd go over to her house. It was a different time back then. My parents would say, yeah, you can go over to Mrs. Ona's house. I'd walk next door to the neighbor's house and walk on into her house. You know, times are different. But I would go over to Mrs. Ona's house, and I was, you know, barely able to walk, you know. And so a lot of times she would even come over to the house, and I remember holding her hand, and I'd walk over to her house, and she was an older woman that was next door to us, sweet as could be. And she'd always have a bag of Lay's potato chips. And so I loved going over to Zona's house and getting my Lay's potato chips, and I'd sit down in the middle of her living room floor and watch cartoons on her little old TV. And I'd do that, you know, probably once a week. And that's the earliest memory I have. Another memory that popped into my mind while I was preparing for this sermon was whenever my parents took me to the ocean for the first time. And I was so excited to go, and I won't tell you what happened before, because I actually didn't want to go at first because we had a kiddie pool in the backyard and I wanted to stay in the kiddie pool instead of going to the ocean. And my parents were like, you're going to love this, you know, if you can just get out of this kiddie pool. That's a whole other sermon illustration for another time. We stay in the kiddie pool instead of going to experience the greatness that's out there, but this is comfortable and this is safe and I like this. But anyway, so we start heading to the beach. We finally get there and Dad is carrying me and walking me down to the ocean, and I'm terrified. And he told me, he said, the look on your face was priceless. You know, as you saw these giant waves roll in, you're just terrified. And he said, so I set you down, and instead of going to the water, you turned the other way and went the wrong direction. And he said, we watched, and you just kept on walking all the way back up, and we were about to have to come get you because you walked up to where there's a little bridge that was there for all the people who were staying in these condos, which is what we were staying in. And on the bridge, many of you have been out to the beach and seen these things, there's a hose that's there to wash off the sand of your feet. You know, and so before you go back into your condo, you wash off all the sand, and then you walk back. Well, that hose was dripping a little bit. And I just remember sitting there playing with that hose. And they said, you played with that hose for hours. We took you all the way to the beach for you to play with a little water hose that washes sand off of other people's feet. You know? And so those are my earliest childhood memories. What are yours? You know, follow me to a healthy memory. I love, there's a lot of scripture on remembering. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. To humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 9. I love this one. Remember this, God says. Remember this. Fix it in your mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Colossians 4, verse 18, Hebrews 13 and verse 3 talk about remembrance in a different way. It talks about, Paul says, remember my chains. So Paul's in prison and he's writing to the Colossian church. And he's saying, remember my chains. Remember my imprisonment. And then you have Hebrews 13 and verse 3 says, for us to remember those who are in prison. So there's this idea, not only remember God and what he's done, but remember those who are hurting. Remember those who are in chains, who are in their prisons. And then there's this idea in Exodus 20 and verse 8 that talks about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And so there's this remember, remember, remember is all throughout Scripture. And then we get to our text that Hayden was reading for us this morning in 2 Peter. I want you to turn 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. I've got a lot of Scripture here that I'm throwing out, so I hope you're staying with me. Hopefully you're already there. Page 936 if you need it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. And I have written both of them as reminders. That's why I wrote my letters. Both of my letters, 1 and 2 Peter, were written as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 through 15, this is what Hayden read for us this morning. Let's read it again. Chapter 1 and verses 12 through 15, I'm sorry. So I will always remind you of these things. How often is Peter going to remind them? Always. You're waking up. How often is he going to remind them? Always. There it is. Always. I will always remind you of these things, even though, listen, you already know them. And you're firmly established in the truth that you now have. He says, I'm reminding you even when you're already established and you already remember these things. You ever get frustrated when people tell you the same thing over and over again? You're like, I already know that. You know, your spouse looks over at you and they tell you something. You're like, I already knew that. Of course I know that. Hey, do you know where you're going? Of course, I drive here every day. And then I miss a turn. Then I look foolish. I think it's, Peter says, verse 13, I think it's right, I love this phrase, to refresh your memory. As long as I live in this tent, in the tent of this body. He's saying, look, I'm going to die soon. Look at the next verse. Because I know I'll soon put it aside. I know I'm not going to be living much longer, but as long as I live, I'm going to refresh your memory. And I will make every effort, verse 15, to see that after I leave, after I die, you will always be able to remember these things. I love that idea. Refreshing our memories. So, here's the struggle that each one of us face. Here's the point of the lesson that I'm getting to. Here's the question that I want to answer, or the problem, more or less, that I want to answer. You see, remembering is great and remembering is wonderful, but there's a problem with a lot of our memories that makes our memories not so healthy. And that's why the title is Follow Me to a Healthy Memory. It's because we often forget what we should remember. And we remember what we should forget. And that is a terrible, terrible thing. And it's a tragedy and it's a battle that we all face. Forgetting what we should remember and remembering what we should forget. And so let's start with the first. Number one, we forget what we should remember. Do any of you struggle with forgetting things that you should remember? Are you like me? You've got all these things and you're trying to remember this, and then you get so many things going on that you forget the most important. You ever, like, you're going somewhere in the house to go and to get something, and you get like eight different things, and you come back and you sit down on the couch and you go, I forgot to get what I went up and was going to get in the first place. Then you got to get up and go get it again. And then if you're really unlucky, you do it twice in a row, right? And so we forget what we should remember. There's three women that are talking. I did not write this, by the way. I don't know why it says women are talking. Sorry, women, but that's the way this goes. I'm just going to read it, okay? So don't blame the preacher. It's just a preacher joke. I have to tell it. And by the way, I'm going to tell you a couple of these little stories, because there's so many good things and good illustrations and good material that I have on memory, but this is not something that we preach on often, so I have to use them all right now. So here we go. The first three women are talking, and the first one says, I go to the refrigerator, and I forget what I needed in there. And the second woman says, well, when I go upstairs, I can't remember whether I was supposed to be going up for something or if I was coming back downstairs. And then the third woman says, well, I'm lucky, I guess, knocking on wood. I don't have that problem. Oh, someone's at the door. You'll get it on the way home. There was a young preacher, and he's at this conference, and there's this evangelist that's speaking, and he's shocked to hear this well-known evangelist utter the words, I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. Yes, I have spent some of the happiest moments of my life in the arms of another man's wife. You heard me. And then following this pause, the evangelist says, and that woman was my mother. And the young preacher was listening. He said, man, that was good. I've got to use that one. And so a few weeks later, in the middle of his sermon, the phrase just kind of popped into his mind. And I'm telling you from experience, that's a dangerous thing. You're away from your notes and something pops in your mind. And so this preacher, he exclaims to the crowd, I have spent some of the happiest days of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And then after another long pause, the young man muttered meekly, but for the life of me, I can't remember who she was. Oh, that's terrible. I know, I'm sorry, it's horrible. But as funny as that is, look, we do that, don't we? We forget things that we're supposed to remember. But here's the problem. And let me take this, as funny as that was, let's take it to a serious level. Forgetting is a terrible thing. Not remembering the things that we should remember is a terrible thing. And I've got a memory in my mind specifically of a day where I was at at White's Ferry Road, and we were at our staff devotional, and one of our elders walks in, and his wife had been struggling with dementia, and it was the morning he walked in, and he was actually giving the devotional that morning, and he was just torn up, and he said, "My wife woke up this morning and looked over at me and said, 'Who are you?'" And it was the first moment through that disease where he was forgotten by the one who knew him best and most. And I'll never forget that day. For me, as I'm sitting in there and I'm watching one of my elders, one of my leaders, a man that I respect to this day and look up to and have learned from, and he was torn up because of forgetting and the pain that comes with forgetting. And some of you know exactly what kind of pain he's going through, because some of you may be affected by dementia or Alzheimer's, and or you may have family in your life that's affected by that. And as strange as it may sound, I think that the hope in the midst of facing a disease like that, but not just any disease, every single disease we face, and by the way, sin is a disease as well. Anything that you face, any difficulty that you face, any sickness that you face, even for words as scary as cancer or dementia, there is hope that can be found. And as I know it sounds crazy, but my encouragement in the face of even those diseases would be to remember. And I know that's silly for telling someone who's struggling with forgetting to remember, but don't just remember everything. Just remember the promises of God. Because it's in the promises of God that we find hope in the face of battles that are bigger than us. Remembering is so important, but when we begin to forget God, that's when we begin to lose the battle. When we forget the promises of God, we begin to lose the battle. And so while everything else may be fading in your life or falling apart in your life, we hold on to the promises of God that give us strength to press on. One of the most tragic things, like I said, that we face in life is in forgetting. Don't forget these important things. That's why the word, by the way, I was interested. And so I got my concordance out, my Strong's Concordance. And I said, how many times is the word remember or some form of that word used in Scripture? And so I sat there and I counted. 307 times in the 66 books of Scripture, they use the word remember, remember, remember. Why? Because this is a thing that's so important. God understands the importance of remembering the small moments and the big moments. It's vital to Him. He wants us to remember His promises. He wants us to remember not just the promises for the future, but He wants us to remember the times that He was there for us in the past. Don't forget them. It's so easy to get focused on what I'm doing today, to forget what He's done back then, to know that if He took care of me through that situation, He's going to take care of me today. But we forget. He wants us to remember the times He was there for us in the past. He wants us to remember that we're not alone. He wants us to remember that His word, to remember His instruction in the midst of a generation that seems to be forgetting and leaving the word. He wants us to remember why we believe, why we push forward, why we fight. He wants us to remember why we follow Him in every single thing that we do, and yet oftentimes we forget. We're kind of like the Galatians. You remember Paul was writing to the Galatians, and he writes this book, and he's angry with the Galatian church because he says, "I'm so astonished that you were so quick to desert the faith that you once had. How could you leave? How could you forget the gospel of Jesus Christ and start to believe in something else?" And it's because they forgot to remember. And so Paul is writing in full anger. Anger that's motivated from love for his brothers and sisters to remember once again the gospel that they have forgotten. To remember once again the grace that saved them, and stop trying to circumcise themselves again, and stop trying to live under the law again, and trust in the grace that saved them when they least deserve it. And man, is that not right where we are sometimes? We start trying to earn it ourselves, to do it ourselves again, to make it through our fights alone. And the truth is, God is, He's not calling you to have more strength all the time. Sometimes He's just calling you to remember the times where you had no strength, and He still came through for you. And He was still there for you. That's what Paul says, when I am weak, then I am. Remember. Remember those times. Remember those moments. Don't fall into spiritual amnesia. Don't forget why you're here. Look, this is why we come to church every week. There are some churches that take communion once a year or different times, but we take it at this place every week. Why? Because we want to remember. We want to remember what God has done for us. We want to remember those moments, as Ezra was talking about. We don't want to forget, because when we forget, then we lose hope to make it through the situations in our life. That's why preachers preach on the same topic over and over again. That's why Peter was preaching to the church that he's writing to. And he says, I'm writing these as reminders to things that you already know, because it's important that you remember in the face of false teachers that were coming in, because you'll be led astray if you don't remember the things that you've seen and the things that were done in your life. Listen, remind yourself every day of things you already know. It's great to learn new things, but it's even just as vital and important in your spiritual life to remind yourself of things you already know. Bug your kids with the same Bible stories. Just drive them crazy with the same parent wisdom. Repeat the same phrase. Mom, Dad, you already told, I know that. Tell them again. You're going to listen again. Why? Because I need you to remember. It's important that you remember now, but it's important that you learn now so that when life gets hard, they find themselves with that wrong crowd or in that wrong spot or in that difficult place, they'll remember then what you told them today. And don't just remember God when things are going wrong. This is just kind of a side note. Oftentimes I feel like we treat God kind of like a spare tire, you know? You don't remember it till the tire blows. Clay, are you in here? Yeah, sorry, Clay. I told you I was going to make it into a sermon illustration. It didn't even make it a few days. Look, Clay was, I'm filling in for Alan while he's sick and taking the kids to the homeless shelter. And it's like 7:45. We got to leave at 8 o'clock. And I got a phone call from Clay. He says, hey, man, are you at the church? I said, yeah, I'm here waiting on you. He said, well, I'm heading to go pick up a couple of kids. But I got a problem. So what? My tire's blown and I'm stuck on the side of the road. And I said, oh my goodness, okay, I'll be there in just a second. So it turns what was already going to be quite an adventurous day into a very adventurous day, into a memory. Hey, Clay, it's a memory we'll never forget, man. And so here we are in the heat trying to get this car tire changed. But it's like one of those things where it's like Clay and I are going, oh, I hope there's a spare in your car. You know, and it's in the moments where your tire's blown and you're stuck on the side of the road that you think about that, right? Like spare tires are typically not something we think about often until we're stuck on the side of the road. And so we got his tire fixed. Everything worked out well. It's been a great memory. But the truth is sometimes that's how we treat God, right? Like we don't remember him and we start to search for him and to look in the trunk and to look in the different places. Where are you, God? Because I've left you back here and I don't think about you until I'm on the side of the road and I'm stuck and can't go on. And the truth is God is saying, don't just remember me in the bad times, remember me in the good so you can make it through the bad. It doesn't mean that you should feel guilty that you've been away from him all the time, but God is wanting you at the same time it's great to call on God in the bad. That's what I'm trying to say. It's great to call on God in the rough times and in the times where you're stuck on the side of the road. And even if you haven't been the Christian that you should have been living up to that moment where you're on the side of the road, it's still okay for you to call out to God even in that moment and say, God, please help me. Send something my way. I'm stuck. But God doesn't just want to use those moments to be remembered. He wants you to remember every day. The problem is that sometimes we forget the things that we should remember. So remind yourself every day of things you already know. But number two, not only do we forget the things that we should remember, number two, we remember things that we should forget. And while, yes, there are 307 scriptures that tell us to remember, and this is a theme that carries over and over and over again in scripture, there are other scriptures that say something different, aren't there? Completely different. Look at this one. You know this verse, most of you. Philippians 3 and verse 13. This one thing I do. What? I forget. Everybody say that. Forget. One more time. Forget. This one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining for what's ahead, I press on. Wait a second. Remember, remember, remember. Wait, no. This one thing I do is to forget. That doesn't make any sense, does it? How does that fit with Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19? Listen to this one. Forget, God says, the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I love that. Let me read it again. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You see, sometimes we forget the things that we should remember, but there are other times where we remember what we should forget. And both are just as detrimental. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be middle ground here. Oftentimes we treat things in life like a pendulum. You know, it's either one extreme over here or another extreme over here. But the truth is that Scripture calls for a middle ground in your mind and in your memory. And He says there are things that you need to remember, and there's also some things that you need to forget. Believe it or not, there is a way to remember too much. There's a woman, her name is Jill Price. This was one of the most interesting things I've heard of before. She was born December 30th in 1965, and she's an American woman from Southern California, and she was diagnosed, Jill was, with hyperthymesia. She was the first person to receive such a diagnosis, and it was her case that inspired research into hyperthymesia, and she ended up co-authoring a book on this subject of this disease. So here's what it is. Price is able to recite every detail of every day of her life from the time that she was 14 years old. True story. She can recall various obscure moments in her life in great detail. Her condition, termed hyperthymesia, is characterized by a highly superior autobiographical memory. And so, literally, she's interviewed by other people, and they would ask Jill, hey, what did you eat on this particular date? And she'd say, not only did I eat, here's exactly what I had for breakfast, but I remember it was raining that day, and this is what I was wearing. And it's just a normal day, and she can recall every detail of those days. And so, of course, people started to interview her and ask her all sorts of different questions to test her memory, and people were just blown away by this. It was a disease, but it kind of seems nice, doesn't it? Don't you wish you kind of had that whenever you're, especially when you're in school, right? You know what I'm saying? And you get to that math test, and you're like, oh, man, if only I could remember that one formula. And she can recall it anytime. And so she was being interviewed, and she was asked, how great is it to never be able to forget anything? And her response was, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Because not only could she remember every detail, there's another aspect of this disease where Jill remembered or recalled the same emotion as if it was just happening every single day. She said, imagine never being able to move on from the loss of a loved one. Imagine never being able to forget how it hurt so bad when that friend betrayed you or that person let you down. Imagine never being able to forget the embarrassment or the shame and the guilt that is carried with that mistake that I've made. And every day when those things hit her mind, the emotions are just the same as if she had just experienced it. She said, nah, you don't want this. She said, I wish not that you were like me, but that I was like you. Sometimes we're haunted by the same thing. And it's a spiritual form of hyperthymesia. You know, we don't forget. We remember too much. And we can't let it go. And we can't move on. And we can't get past it. And so we don't forget. We don't forget our mistakes. We don't forget the times that people let us down and they weren't there for us. We don't forget the times we were betrayed. We don't forget the times that we betrayed others and let them down, and the guilt that we feel. We don't forget. And what happens is we end up living in a state of shame, fear, regret, depression, and we're just bogged down because we can't move on from the sin and hurt that's been in our life. And God says, no. You need to forget. I love it. There's a beautiful scripture in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 that demonstrates this principle. And I love it because God is the one who's doing the forgetting here. It says, for I will forgive them of their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. I'm not just going to forgive you of your wickedness. I'm going to literally forget your sins. I'm going to remember them no more. Wait a second, Nathan. Are you saying that God can accidentally forget things? No, I'm saying our God intentionally forgets things. It's not that this does not usurp the omniscience of our God, the all-power and all-knowing of our God. Our God is still all-knowing. Our God doesn't accidentally forget things. Things don't slip his mind. He doesn't accidentally put the potato chips in the refrigerator, you know? God doesn't do that. He chooses to forget. He says, no, no, no. I'm choosing to remember your sins no more. I'm choosing to blot that out of my mind. And that's the kind of forgetfulness that God is commanding us to. When I'm telling you and standing in front of you and saying, you need to forget these things. Stop remembering this. It's not by accidentally letting it slip from your mind. It's by saying, I'm going to choose to move past this. I'm going to choose to not let this beat me up anymore. I'm going to choose to forget. I love that idea. Look, there's a story I've told you before, but it really fits so well with this lesson, so I'm going to use it to close anyway. And it's the story of little Johnny and Susie. And Johnny's outside, and he's got this new little slingshot. Kind of reminds me of Andy Griffith, an episode of Andy Griffith, you know. But he's got this slingshot, and he's over at, he's outside, and he's wandering around, and he hears something ruffling down behind him. And he turns and he just releases this rock at whatever it was that was moving. And of course, he kills this little baby duck that they had just gotten. And so he grabs the duck and he's going, where can I hide this thing? Some of you remember this illustration, don't you? Where can I hide this thing? I don't know where to put it. And so he just turns around. He sees this big pile of logs. And so he just shoves the duck down into the pile of logs to hide it. And he turns around and he's kind of looking, you know, when you do something wrong and then you hide something, then you're turning to see if anybody noticed. And nobody's there, and the coast was clear until all of a sudden he turned to start walking back towards the house. And there was his sister Susie standing there with her arms crossed looking at him and just shaking her head. And you know whenever, that's the worst possible case, right, that a sibling would see. And she's sitting there and shaking her head, and she just turns around silently, doesn't say a word, believe it or not, and walks back into the house. Well, later that evening, Johnny's thinking he's good and he's escaped all this stuff, and dinner happens, and Mom looks over to Susie and says, hey, Susie, can you help me do the dishes? It's your turn to do the dishes. And she says, no, Johnny said that he would do the dishes tonight. And then she walks by Johnny and said, remember the duck. Right? And so you see the pattern that's beginning to form here. Susie, help me clean the living room. It's your turn to do that tonight. Oh, no, no, no. Johnny said that he would do that. Remember the duck. Hey, Susie, come take out the trash. No, Johnny's going to... Remember the duck. And it just happens over and over again. And 2 weeks go by. And Johnny's been working circles around Susie. Susie's not doing anything. She's living the life, you know. And finally, Johnny says, Susie does it one more time and says, no, 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 Johnny's going to do that. And Johnny just goes, Mom, I've got to talk to you. I've got to tell you what happened. And he starts to cry and he says, Mom, you know how the duck's missing? I killed the duck. I killed the duck. And that's why I've been doing all these chores for Susie. And I just can't do it anymore. And the mom gets down on her knees and grabs her son's shoulders and says, I know. I was standing at the kitchen window and saw the whole thing happen. I forgave you the moment it happened, son. I was just wondering how long you were going to let Susie torment you to remember the duck. You know, that's our life, though, isn't it? You know, that's the illustration that I just could not get my mind off of as I was writing this lesson, because I think that's the problem that we have. We remember the things that we need to forget. And God is saying, I forgave you of that a long time ago. I let go of that. I saw it happen. I was standing at the kitchen window, and I know what you've been doing, and I know where you were at, and I know what you've seen. I know what you've been drinking, putting into your mouth, putting into your body, looking into and putting in your mind. I know where you've been, and I know what you've done, and I forgave you of that a long time ago. But every time you wake up on a Sunday morning, Satan starts to whisper, remember the duck. Remember who you are. You're not worthy of this. Go ahead, put on your clothes. Go sit in your pew. Go check that box. Go take communion. Go do your thing. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. There are things we need to remember, but there's also things we need to forget. And I don't know which one it is that you struggle with, because I think we kind of flip-flop on that. It is like a pendulum. Although the Scripture is right in the middle, and it's solid ground, and it doesn't move from side to side, we do all the time. And so I don't know where you are, but you're at one of those extremes. Either you're remembering too much or you're remembering too little. But whatever it is in your life, wherever you're at, my encouragement is that you follow Jesus to a healthy memory. If there's things that you've just forgotten, and you're just in a stagnant place, because I think that's often what that leads to. Either it leads to a sinful place or a stagnant place in your faith when you forget the promises of God. And so if you've just been going through the motions, and if you're bored with church, and if you're bored with Christianity, if you're bored in your faith, if you're tired of serving at the pantry, if you're tired of coming to worship, I'm just tired of Connect Group. If you're tired in your faith, then maybe it's that you've forgotten the things that you were once passionate about. But maybe you're on the other side, and every day you live in guilt, shame, and depression, or anger, because either guilt and shame and depression comes from, I can't let go of what I've done to someone else or done to God. And I just keep remembering that every day, and Satan's just whispering constantly, remember the duck, remember the duck. But maybe it's that I'm constantly reminded and angry and bitter towards the sin that someone else committed, and it's affected me. And I can't let that go. And I need help learning to forgive as Christ forgave me, and to forget, and to move past. And forgetfulness is not an accident, it's a choice. And I need to choose to move past this. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how this hits you, but I hope that you don't walk out of here without responding in your heart and your soul. And I pray, as our text said, that Peter said to his church, I'm writing these things to you to refresh your memory. And I pray that your memory is refreshed this morning. Whatever it is that you need, won't you come while together we stand and sing?
In the name of Jesus, we